This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you all to take a look at our Advent wreath this morning. There is a lot of symbolism in the Advent wreath, but specifically, I just want you to look at the candles. Each and every week, we light another candle, which is to symbolize that each and every week, the Lord is closer and nearer to returning. And finally, on Christmas, we light the white candle in the middle to symbolize that Christ is here, that he was born in Bethlehem. But notice the colors of the other candles. Three of them are the color purple. The color purple is to emphasize the seriousness of our sins, that we need to repent of them so that we are prepared for when the Lord returns. But when we focus on the seriousness of our sins, it can make us afraid of the Lord returning. We might be wondering if we have repented well enough in our life or if we are truly prepared for the Lord's return. And that's why the candle that we lit this morning is the color pink. The color pink is to emphasize joy. We don't have to be afraid that the Lord is near to return, but rather we can rejoice that the Lord is near with his deliverance. That's the very first thing that Paul tells us to do this morning. In his letter to the Philippians, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Notice that Paul mentions the word rejoice not once, but twice. And why do you think he did that? It's probably because Paul knew how often we don't always rejoice in our lives. And so he mentions the word rejoice twice here to emphasize that we do have joy. But when someone tells you to rejoice, how do you feel? How do you respond? There may be those times that you realize you shouldn't be down in the dumps and you have a lot to rejoice about. But then there are those other times when someone tells you to rejoice and you say to that person, "That's easy for you to say. You are not going through what I am experiencing. You have no idea how hard it is for me to rejoice." And maybe that was your reaction to Paul this morning when he told you to rejoice. You may have thought, "Paul, that's easy for you to say. It's easy for you to tell us to rejoice, considering you have literally seen Jesus with your own eyes. And you have literally heard Jesus tell you that he would protect you throughout your journeys." But you have to understand that when Paul wrote these words, it must have been hard for him to rejoice. For when Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, he was in prison in Rome. And the reason he was in prison was because of a false accusation against him by the Jewish people. And do not think that Paul's only been in prison for a few weeks or a couple of months. He's been in prison for years. It must have been hard for Paul to be filled with joy. And yet, he rejoices. He rejoices because he still has opportunities to preach the gospel to people. He rejoices because the Philippians have been concerned about him, they have prayed for him, and they haven't turned away from the gospel since he was arrested. But ultimately, Paul rejoices because his joy was in the Lord. And that's the joy that we all have. And yet, what is stopping you from rejoicing? Maybe you are not rejoicing because of the days of this winter season. And since you wake up and go to work, it's dark. And when you leave your job and come back home, the sun has already set. And since you never get to experience the sun, It can make you a little depressed. Maybe you are not rejoicing because of the busyness of this Christmas season. You know how people say Christmas is a time of joy and peace. But you are so busy buying all the right gifts. You're so busy making it to every event and party and pageant that it just stresses you out. Maybe you aren't rejoicing because of personal problems, whether it's health issues or family issues. Because of all of this, it can be very hard to rejoice. It may even seem impossible to have joy in everything. So how can we possibly rejoice in all things? We can rejoice because our joy is in the Lord. And the Lord is near to us. We find him in his word. And here we see a God who gives us joy. We have joy in knowing that God has forgiven our sins and he has written our names in the book of life. We have joy in knowing that everything that happens in our lives, God will turn that into our good. We have joy in knowing that nothing will separate us from our God. And so during this Christmas season, when you may find it hard to rejoice, think of the words the angels shared to the shepherds on that first Christmas. I bring you good news of great joy. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And that Savior that was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago is a Savior that was born for us. For he is Christ our Lord, who is near to give us joy. But as you know, joy does not just show itself in emotions. Joy also shows itself in actions. Since we are filled with joy, Paul goes on to say, let your gentleness be evident to all. We are to let our gentleness be shown to all people. And when Paul talks about gentleness here, he's not talking about just being kind to people. He's also talking about being patient with others, to be long-suffering with everyone, even when they are not gentle to us. This is the gentleness that is willing to help each and every person, regardless of who they are or what they have done. And yet I ask you, what's stopping you from showing your gentleness? Is it because some people just get on your nerves and therefore you're not gentle with them? Is it because some people are not kind to you and so you are not gentle to them? Is it because you think other people should earn your gentleness, that they should be kind to you first and then you will be gentle to them? If that is the reason and your motivation for being gentle with others, don't you see how unchristian this is? If we are only gentle to those that we like, then we are no different than the rest of the world. But as Christians, as people who belong to God, we are to show gentleness to everyone, just like how God shows gentleness to everyone, including you and me. If God were only going to be gentle with us because we have earned it, then the Lord would never be near to us. He would be completely distant from us. For we are not always gentle with others, and we commit sins that anger God. But the Lord is near to us because of who the Lord is. God has even told us what the name the Lord means. He said, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Since this is who our Lord is, he is near to us with his gentleness, for he is gracious and compassionate. He is patient with us, and he maintains his love with us. And since he is near to us, Paul goes on to say, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. When Paul mentions not to be anxious about anything, he is not talking about how we can be anxious because we are very excited for something to happen. Rather, when he talks about not being anxious about anything, he's really talking about not being worried about anything. Christ has told us that we have no need to worry, for our Father in heaven will provide for us. He will take care of us. And yet, what do? We worry. We can worry about simple things, such as, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? And we can worry about serious things, such as our financial security or those test results that the doctor wants to talk to us about. In one way, shape, or form, we all worry. But there is a remedy to that worriness, and it's prayer to God. God wants us to pray to him. God has said, cast all your anxiety on me because I care for you. Just think about what a great blessing and a gift that prayer is. Prayer is nothing more than a conversation with God. It is nothing more than talking to him. And we all know how important it is to talk to others. For when you don't tell others about what is going on in your life, when you bottle that all up inside of you, it eats away at you. It brings you down, and it can make you depressed. But when you open up to someone and you talk to them about what's going on in your life, it helps you. It makes you feel better. And even if you don't have anyone else to talk to, the Lord is near in your prayers. He listens to your prayers, and he will answer his prayers according to his good and gracious will. And God doesn't care if it's about simple things or serious things. He just loves to hear you talk to him. But even though God has given us this great gift, what's stopping you from praying? Do you neglect prayer because you think you don't have enough time to pray to God, even though prayer doesn't have to be that long? Do you neglect prayer because you're just not in the mood to pray to God? Do you neglect prayer because in your mind you just don't see the need to pray to God? Since God knows everything that you need and he will take care of it regardless. If that is your reason for not praying to God, then that is like taking God's precious gift that he has given you and you throw it in the trash. For prayer truly is a gift from God. The prophet Isaiah told us, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. It is because of our sins that separated us from God. It is because of our sins that God would not listen to us. And considering how we sin against God each and every day, why would he still be willing to listen to our prayers? It's because of Christ. Christ is the one who bridged the gap between us and God. He bridged that gap by living a perfect life for us and dying on the cross for our sins. St. Paul says it like this, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Because of Christ and through faith in him, we have access with God. Therefore, we can pray to our Lord because he is near to us. Finally, Paul says, "The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." These are very familiar words to all of us because we hear them all the time at the end of the sermon. But do you ever wonder why these words are used at the end of a sermon? It's to emphasize that everything that you heard from God's word is true, that you are forgiven, and that you have peace with God. To the rest of the world who views God's word as complete foolishness, they just don't understand this. They can't wrap their minds around it because it transcends their understanding. But to us who believe that God's word is true, this brings us peace. And not only does it bring us peace, but the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. The peace of God is like a fortress that cannot be destroyed. Therefore, God will guard and protect you in the faith so that nothing will separate you from him. And why is God willing to do all of this? He does it all in Christ Jesus, who is our Savior, who has brought us peace with God. Therefore, since the Lord is near and he will come again, you do not have to be afraid, but you get to rejoice. You rejoice that the Lord is near because he comes with joy in assuring you that you are forgiven. The Lord is near with his gentleness, which moves you to be gentle to all people. The Lord is near by giving you access to him in prayer. And the Lord is near to bring you peace, that he will guard and protect you until the great advent of our King, when he will come again. And when he does, the Lord will be near to us forever. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.